Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 11th of August, recording at 10:10 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here on this exceptionally exciting day. Asian stock markets, they paired early losses, and a few actually closed upwards, including the China A-shares. A couple of the ASEAN stock markets. The European stock markets were much stronger in here today, with gains up to 5% for the Swiss SMI. Good reason for that, I'll mention in a moment. The UK FTSE index up over 3%. The Americas, very solid gains. Wall Street offsetting yesterday's declines for the most part. 4.6% up on the S&P and also the NASDAQ composite. Good gains for the other Americas markets. Brazil up 3.79%. Long-dated government bond prices slumped here. Well, they fell in Europe. Fell a bit in Europe. I don't want to exaggerate anything here. So they're down a little bit in Europe. That's the accurate one. But they slumped in the U.S. We had the official close down 3 points on the long bond, a little less than that on the after-hours close. Precious metals, we had a shakeout in gold, having been up over $1,800 yesterday, and I think early this morning. It fell back to, I think, 1732, and then closed off the low by $34. It's currently at 1766. Platinum up to 1790, currently trading 1741 for palladium, silver at 3866. The dollar was a little bit weaker. The commodity currencies rebounded, the Aussie up to 103.52. Industrial metals were higher. Copper had a good move, 407.5 up to $4.07. That was up over 16 cents. Crude oil bounced, and NYMEX up to 85. I beg your pardon. Yeah, that is NYMEX. NYMEX, WTI, 85.51. It's such a exciting day here. I'm going to keep tabs on it all. And the Brent, 107.88. Okay, agricultural commodities, mostly firmer. I think cotton was an exception, and rough rice, which has been strong recently, was down slightly. Cotton down slightly. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, all the markets that I described in last night's audio as being very oversold, and stock markets are very oversold in the short term. The gold price was overextended, having accelerated to the upside, certainly more than we've seen for a while. Owen has some interesting data on that in comment. And the Swiss franc, which was really being treated as fiat gold, was certainly very overextended. And that fell back. Gold fell back. Treasury bonds, U.S. long-dated treasury bonds, which had spiked higher, fell back sharply. And And stock markets, of course, staging this very big rebound. Now, Okay, let's put it all together here. We've certainly got plenty of volatility continuing in these markets. That makes it exciting, but it also tends to be too exciting for some people and to unnerve them. I think a portion of this volatility, quite a high portion in stock markets, and it also spills over into commodity markets and well, all markets. Is this high frequency trading? Now, I regard these as terminator machines. I don't want to. That sounds a bit alarming, but basically, these machines are trading 24 hours a day. Exchanges absolutely love it because they increase turnover so much. Account for the lion's share of turnover overall. It can make trading more difficult. It has less of an effect, I think, on long-term investors. As a matter of fact, for investors who sell high and buy low, it can be quite good long-term investors, because the blasts to the downside create oversold conditions, and things get too overextended on the upside as well. Okay, but where are we now in terms of this stock market cycle? Owen and I have been saying that this is a bear market in here. I think this is a cyclical bear market. We have been hopeful that it would be a short. Sharp bear market, and that's been pretty much what it has been to date. A few markets have held out. Some of the Asian stock indices have held out. Some really terrific performing individual shares, Apple Computer, McDonald's, and a few others, they've held out. But that's a kind of a dwindling band that have not been affected. Pretty much everything else has seen, which had been doing reasonably well beforehand, has seen some significant technical damage. And that includes Wall Street. But it was overstretched, and we had a brisk rally in here today. That's not at all uncommon in a bear market environment. We get these very sharp, short covering rallies. Now, our feeling is that too much technical damage has been done, and a lot of it quite recently, for markets to be able to sustain more than a short-term bounce. And there are still some risks to the downside, and a period of support building, given the damage that has occurred, is almost certainly going to be necessary before markets can sustain major moves to the upside. And there are a number of factors that we would like to fall in place that would also be conducive to additional gains. I've detailed, incidentally, a lot of this in comment of the day, which you will be able to see if you wish to. But we'd like to see commodity prices lower. Of course, markets don't care what we would like to see, but that would be healthy for the global economy to see these commodity prices come down lower, particularly prices for crude oil and staple foods such as corn, wheat, rice, soybeans. The importance of that is that it would greatly reduce inflationary pressures in the growth economies, China, India, Brazil, and allow them to not only halt their monetary tightening bias, which has been quite persistent, but to also partially reverse that tighter bias. So to get a really good sustainable run to the upside in stock markets, I think we do need to see a clear diminution in commodity price inflation. Now, people are focused on the whole euro situation, and not without good reason. The sovereign debt problems are obviously considerable, the banking problems, because they hold all that or they hold so much sovereign debt. That's another problem. But we're more optimistic on that situation. We feel that it's either passed or is close to passing its nadir. And the reason for that is because the European rulers, heads of state, and the ECB have finally grasped the nettle. I maybe that's not fair. I think they always wanted to have a fiscal union, but never thought that it was feasible when the euro was created back in the 1990s. But they now, against the background of a crisis, have every incentive, and I think are now determined to push ahead with the fiscal union that just about everybody, and including Fuller Money, felt and said was necessary to ensure the euro's survival. So we're still getting emails, not from subscribers, but from people who see some of our free abbreviated copy. Still getting emails, frightened emails, talking about the collapse of the euro. I would say that's not going to happen, and I have not felt that that was going to happen. But I felt that there was a risk that some, and I've often mentioned that as long as Germany was interested in the euro, we would have a euro in one form or another. I have often said that I didn't see any reason why some countries might choose to opt out from time to time, and Greece would be a prime candidate. But even that's probably less likely. I think the European countries would definitely like to go, or would prefer to go ahead with the fiscal union. It won't go to a vote, but that's the way the European states often do these things. But to get back to the important point here, investors are still worrying about that a lot. I mean, I get calls from India waking me up. Not our nice subscribers in India would have more sense than that, but television channels and so on, fretting about the euro. I think as a fear factor, that's going to start to fade. Now, at Fuller Money, we're frightened by commodity price inflation, but the CCI index shows lower rally highs. I wouldn't want to see those taken out, or I would feel that that was a risk for stock markets increasing were that to happen. The main risk to stock markets, I actually think, is right now is coming from the USA, and it's this growth slowdown. Now, a lot of estimates for corporate profits we think are too high. And we like those big, successful, multinational US companies. And I've often emphasized that investors buy stocks, not the US economy. But nevertheless, the factors that we've seen in recent weeks, the number of indicators that economists are pointing out have deteriorated for the US economy, indicates that if it doesn't double dip recession, that it'll certainly feel like it for most Americans. And it may only be kept from the technical definition of a recession, two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. That if it avoids that, it might be due to a little bit of fudging of the statistics. So our feeling is that these corporate profits are definitely going to be down. So when we say equities are cheap, yes, they are, or they're a lot cheaper than they were, say, two weeks ago, in many instances, in most instances. Lower earnings will make them a little less cheap, but But I think only temporarily. I think those companies are good for the long term, and I'm not at all pessimistic about global GDP growth over the longer term. I put it in the context of this tough decade in here, where inflation's a real problem and tight energy supplies, expensive energy, a real problem, and it's not till we get into at some stage in the near the middle of the next decade when I think we're going to just be awash in cheap energy in real terms, thanks to all the shale oil and gas, plus hopefully significantly more nuclear than power than we have today, although that seems unlikely to be the case in Europe, France aside, France excepted. Again, on this stock market, global stock market picture, I think it pays to nibble at equities on further weakness for those who wish to do that. I think it will pay over the medium to longer term. But I wouldn't pay up, and I wouldn't chase this rally higher. The chances are we get at least a retest of the low. And there are additional remaining risks to the downside, although hopefully not too much. And I certainly don't think this is 2008 all over again, and never have. Long-dated government bond prices, they were really discounting the Japan script. Well, not quite, but moving very much in that direction. And that's a possibility. Although I don't think it's likely. And I've been surprised by the extent of the rally that we had in those treasury bonds, and I think it's hard, it'll be hard for those levels to be sustained. But in the short term, we seem to have had, well, as of today, we seem to have had at least a short-term peak, or as of yesterday, I think it was. And today we had a good downward dynamic. In those U.S. treasuries. I think they're quite likely to come lower. In currencies, the Swiss National Bank has said today that it might peg the Swiss franc to the euro. And that put fear into the hearts of all those people who have been leveraging up in the Swiss franc recently. Swiss franc looks like it's seen at least a short-term peak. And gold, risky because of the overextension, risky in terms of some pullback and mean reversion in here. Now, I certainly don't think that the long-term secular upward trend is concerned, but if you look at the 10-year chart, you've seen it on a number of occasions. Gold gets overextended relative to its MA. It can't maintain that rate of acceleration to the upside. Nothing can. And you get a pull up back and a shakeout, and it consolidates, sees some mean reversion, and then goes up again. That's what I expect. Well, I hope you're having fun in all this. It's certainly exciting. And I've got a smile as I say that. All the very best to all of you.